believe by the faith of the Son of God.
Faith ensures productivity.
That means every time we mix faith with the Word of God, we are productive. The Word is the gospel. That means the gospel was designed for your faith. The gospel, the Word of God, is the raw material for faith. The factory for the fabrication of faith is your spirit. The machine, Malakaya. The equipment for fabricating the faith is meditation. You need to raise the level of your faith so you can raise the level of your productivity.
You want in this service, but I stretch my hands to you under this cloud of heaven. Le patola palatonski balatosa, jali baratonepa. I declare, let the Savior and you come out. Let the Savior and you come out. Let the Savior and you come out. Let the heavenly glory explode in your spirit. Malakombeto lakopatosa. Jaliga pronde super. Oh, what a presence, what a presence, what a presence, what a presence. I come against limitations. I come against resistances. I come against hindrances. I come against every wall that have stood before you hitato. Shepati la copate. Lepra tetis kapali. Luke patella copata. You are leaving this service breaking limits. You are leaving this service leaping over walls. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands. I see a fresh anointing for miracles, signs, and wonders. I'm seeing men carry the power of God to the marketplace. Lift your hands. That is what I see. I see explosions of the gift of the Spirit. Explosions of the miracle working power of the Spirit. Malako, everyday believers, healing the sick, raising the dead, opening deaf ears. Le patola kopata, moving in the Spirit. Lift your hands. In that banking ground, you are working miracles. In that workplace, that business space, lift patola kopata. Lift your hands. Let the anointing to change outcomes. The anointing to reveal the crystals. Let it rest. Let it rest. Let it rest. There are at least seven people in the first wave. The power of God is coming upon them. Seven. 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 This heavenly cloud of glory. I'm seeing a whirlwind of God's glory around them. Seven. At the count of three. One, two, three. Take. 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 Pasika. Help her, help him, help her, help her. Help that young man, help, help. Teletona kipatoska. Jali batola bronda sista. Hontapura. I bring you to seasons of encounters of the God kind. Encounters, where you lie down, encounters. Where you walk by, encounters. Where you open the Bible, encounters. In the name of Jesus, where you pray, encounters. When you worship, encounters. Leveton the sister. Seven of them, lift your hands. Keep praying in tongues. Seven of them, help me count. There have to be seven. I'm seeing the miracle power of God. You will go lay hands on people, and I will call you with testimonies. Seven, seven people. I don't know how many they are now. Maybe four, five, six. I don't know if they are coming. Lift your hands, everyone. There are at least people in this room that that anointing is resting upon. Some of you to flow through your natural giftings. As you do what you do, you may look secular self, but the breath of the Lord is resting on it. Lift your hands. Eberone Sapatana Lida Hasapa Zuzi Malata Matosa Jalilo Sebranda Caposa Zibala, lift your hands. Accountant, come. Jalibadunda, lift your hands. I'm seeing the Lord put honor on your life. See the Lord put an anointing on your life. I'm seeing monies come to you from very strange places. Mark my word. I'm seeing you stumbling into treasures. Stumbling into treasures. Hear the Spirit of God. Yeah. Treasures that will do you like a dream. In the name of Jesus. Lebetons Kelly Brekepa. Libaka. The Lord says your service has touched heaven. And it's a season of remembrance. And that remembrance will come in two ways. Number one, in the anointing of God's Spirit. And number two, in honor, bringing wealth. All people, lift your hands. Miracle working ability. Some of your eyes will be open, you begin to see. You will sit down in places and you will see. You will see concerning you. You will see concerning your business. You see concerning others. You will know where the clients are. Lift your hands. Heightened manifestations of the Spirit. The Bible says the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. I activate something in you. You know, recently it was Sam that was sharing his testimony with me after 2017 or 18. His first time in church, I was talking about the manifestation of the Spirit. He went home, he broke into it. Very strange. The rest is history. Lift your hands. The Bible says the manifestations of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit without. That means it's for your profit. What that means is that next level you are thinking and envisioning is connected to the manifestations of the Spirit. Lift your hands. I'm about to light that fire. Yes, Dorcas, lift your hands. Dorcas James, lift your hands. Zebedonda saprida kete patoskaya. Zelila tata patonda sushte pora digebosa. Ila kom praktoskeli prakotosa. Yes, let it come upon you. Like fire of the furnace. Likepola. Leap. I'm seeing the Lord burning off chaffs around you. I'm seeing the Lord burning off chaffs. I'm seeing the Lord burning off chaffs. I'm seeing his fire do a new thing. Yes, 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 yes. Bring her for me to the front. I need to lay hands on her. I'm seeing the Lord. Yeah, I need two of you. Just carry her to the front. I'm seeing the Lord do a new thing. I'm seeing the Lord do a new thing. Jennifer, lift your hands. As I looked at you, I see a fire burning. And the Lord is saying, you are more than where you are now. For there is a call upon your life, hear the Lord. There's a call. There's a call. I've never told you this before. There's a call of God's Spirit. A call. Jennifer, you find me. Mrs. Fine, lift your hands. Right where you are. Father, in the name of Jesus, I light the fire of that call. For you is not an ordinary life. It's not a mundane life. You have asked yourself questions, so and so what? So after all this, is that all? Is that all? And the Lord is saying, no, that is not all. For I put my call upon you. A call to stand in for many. A call to stand in a gap for many. A call to teach many. The way of truth. The way of righteousness. In the name of Jesus, at the count of three. Let the sweet influence of the Spirit, let the beauty of God's grace engulf you from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Usher's order. 1, 2, 3. Help her. Lebetonda sushtapora. Help her, help her. Just help her there. I mean, come up. Sweet influences of the Spirit. Somebody is about to give you millions in plural to trade forex. Who is the person? He's like joke. If I say, is that what you want to do? Take 5 million, take 3 million, take 10 million. Lift your hand. Who is the person? You are pushing somebody to give you money to invest in forex or crypto. But I'm seeing forex. I know there are not many forex traders, but that is what I saw. That's what I saw. Maybe it's online. I don't know. Maybe it's online. I don't know. Let me pray. I'm seeing somebody handing over millions. Handing over millions. I say, okay, take and trade and give me back my money and give me back profit. Who is the person? Is the person online? Where are the Forex traders in this house? Forex, oh, no, Forex. Where is he? If you are watching online, connect. In the name of Jesus, I release that favor to you. I release that favor to you. Okay, enter into the prophecy now. I'm seeing somebody's giving you millions to invest into the business. Lift your hands in the name of Jesus. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. It's yours. I'm seeing somebody, you have a, it's around the property. The person like gave you, but something is beginning to cause contention. It's like, okay, is this my property? Is it not mine? Have you really given me something like that? I don't know who the person is. In the name of Jesus, the contention has ceased. And that property is yours. That property is yours. That property is yours. I'm seeing somebody here that took you to a land. It's like a farm. You wanted a farm, that took you to a land. And you're looking around. I'm seeing you with someone walking, looking around. That's okay. Is it the land? Is this the land? What can I do? You're walking with someone, showing you a land to lease for farming. For farming. I'm seeing you standing with someone and walking across the line. Who is the person? I want to pray for you. You are standing with someone. You're walking around a land. Around the land for farming. For farming. I'm seeing somebody showing you land for farming. Let me pray for you. You come, just pass carefully. How recent is it? On Friday, hey, something recent. You, how recent? Last week, okay, lift your hand. Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. It's not just land for farming. I'm about to release upon you property anointing. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Do you believe it? In the name of Jesus. Lepetosa. Take. 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 Property. Properties. 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 Just let him hang wherever he's hanging there. Thank you, Jesus. You are always there to help. You are always there to help me. Even when no one else was there, you are always there for me. Even when I can't see you. Even when I never. Never. Lift your hands. Sick. God is still walking. Put down the ground there. You are always there for me. Just those under the power, just leave them. Stephanie, lift your hands. It's a new season for you. Is a new season for you. I'm seeing the Lord holding your hands and walking you into a room. That's what I just saw in the spirit. I'm seeing the Lord holding you by the hand, opening the door and walking you into the room. The Lord has said, I've exceeded your expectation, for it's your season. Helpers will be raised. The doors will open by their own accord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord will hold you by the hand and walk you into the next room of your life and destiny. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands. For the Lord has raised you as a mouthpiece, as a mouthpiece, as a mouthpiece, as a mouthpiece for him in that industry. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let grace begin to speak for you. Let grace begin to speak for you. Let grace begin to speak. Grace begin to speak. You are always there. Oh, you are always there to help. Yeah, you are always there to help me. Even when no one else was there.
You are always there for me. Oh, even when I cannot trace you, I still have faith in your word that you are always there for me.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, I just saw in the spirit and suddenly the cloud over this place changed, was different. It's under the power of God, except they are standing. Just leave them. You look for another seat and just leave them. Amen. Glory to God. Praise God. Your tongue and your destiny. You can go get the message for first and second service. I'll just continue from where I stopped. James chapter 3. James chapter 3. Sakapato la kopakopato sushita. Lagado sabayatas. Come for total immersion camp this weekend. Come for total immersion camp. Hallelujah. Okay, so your tongue and your destiny, part 4C. Now, where did we stop in second service? James chapter 3, verse 3, I believe. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Where did we stop in second service? Am I right? James 3:3. Okay. We're talking about the power of the Word of God. Okay. So I promise you, we're trying to talking about increasing the energy of your words. I think that's what I said. All right. Job said, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you use them to regulate the earth? You know, the book of Job is a very interesting book. A book that has been misunderstood, misread, misinterpreted by many for many years. Amen. You know, one of the first approach to understanding the book of Job is to understand that Job did not have the book of Job. Did you hear what I said? Okay, Job did not have the book of Job. Okay? And so we can read and understand what happened behind the scene. Job did not have the privilege of knowing. Okay? So when you read that, there was a time where the sons of God were presenting themselves to God. And, you know, it's amazing how many categories of people the Bible calls the sons of God. Can I just drop something? Can I drop something here? The doctrine of adoption of sons is something you must understand as a believer. When the Bible teaches in the New Testament, especially in the Pauline epistle, when the Bible teaches about the adoption of son, when it calls us the son of adoption, you have to understand this. You have to understand this. It will bring you into victory almost automatically. It will bring you, listen to me. I mean, this is like, you know, when you put nutrients and then you surround it with jumbos. And you know, children like the jumbos and leaving the meat. They just suck the milk and leave the main thing. What I'm about to say is core. The doctrine of adoption must be understood. Now, one of the major problems you will have in understanding the Bible is the African and the Western construct. Chances are you are going to relate with concepts from the Bible using the mind of the Western tradition or what's still African tradition. Have it together? So when we talk about sons and fatherhood, naturally the African construct will rob you of the core understanding. I need to pay attention. Okay? Will rob you of the core understanding of what has been said. My mind is going to many things, but I'm just trying to focus. You see, when you read about adoption, you know what people think? Going to an orphanage, signing a paper, and adopting a child. But that is very far from the Jewish and even the Greco-Roman context in which that was written. In that context, a son of adoption is not coming from outside, it's coming from within. Yes, oh, yes. Are we together? Yes, it's coming from within. It's a system of enthronement where a man has many sons, and then out of his sons, there is one that is raised and trained, okay, by the preference of the father to become the son of adoption, meaning to become the heir of the estate. Are you getting it now? So when the Bible talks about the son of adoption, he's talking about the one that the father's love falls on, by his sense for training to be the natural heir of the estate. That is the son of adoption. And you see, in that context, the inheritance is not given after men are dead. Once you enter into sonship, you have the inheritance. You know, we call the story of the prodigal son, all of that. He had the right to his father's inheritance, actually. Read the story very well. But see, that's why I say when you have the African construct or even the Western construct, you think after men are dead, they write the will. And then that will give inheritance to people. That is not the mind. Are you here? That is not the mind. Okay? So when a son is raised to be a son of adoption, he enters into the inheritance with his father still alive.
That's right.
Did you get that? The Bible says we are predestined to the adoption of sons. That means we are the son of adoption for God. There are many people in the Bible that God calls sons. Adam is the son of God. Angels, the son of God. The Jews, the son of God. But the church, the new creation, is the son of adoption. Okay. Maybe you get it. Maybe you will get it later. Did you hear what I just said? Out of the many sons, we are the son of adoption. That means we are the rightful heir of the estate. Do you understand? This is what the Bible calls us, joint heirs with Christ. Glory to God. You didn't get it. What was I saying? The sons of God came to present themselves to God, and then Satan came and accused Job. Job didn't have the privilege of seeing that happen. Glory to God. So you see the argument back and forth. And suddenly God appears and began to interrogate and began to talk to Job. And that thing we read in Job 38 verse 33 is part of what God told Job. He said, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you use them to regulate the earth? He's saying that earth is regulated by spiritual ordinances. And you are where you are because you broke some of those ordinances. You are where you are because of your ignorance of the laws that interplay to cause outcome in the earth realm. Did you get that? The things I just said now, did you understand them? You see, at the root of exploit is the revelation of fatherhood.
Yes, sir.
At the root of exploit is the revelation of fatherhood. You know, that was exactly what Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, really. That I'm doing what I'm doing because I have a father. I'm somebody's son. Have it together. Glory to God. You know, when you read the Bible, especially the Old Testament, you come across three kinds of laws. Ceremonial laws, moral laws, and spiritual laws. When Jesus came, because of the change of order, the ceremonial laws were done away with. Now, the high priest doesn't need to wear ephod, okay, and have the stuff on their chest, the tunim, and then go into the physical and Urim, go into the physical holy place, holy of holies, offer up sacrifices. Those things are done with, have it together. And a whole lot of the ceremonial laws around offerings, around atonement, done away with. Amen. Now, the moral laws have not changed. And some of them modified, okay? Or the way we should go about them have changed. But you see, the picture God wants to paint to us is there are spiritual laws that are superior to the moral laws. God tells them, thou shalt not kill. That's a moral law. God tells them, thou shalt not be a false witness against your neighbor. That is a moral law. That is a reflection of God's justice system on the earth. That's a moral law. But you see, when you get into the Old Testament, he gives you a spiritual law that supersedes, thou shalt not be a false witness against your neighbor. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. What did he call it? You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So he brought forth the law of love. The Bible calls it the royal law of love. And that is a spiritual law. Because of that spiritual law, a lot of moral laws will be covered, true or false. When you're walking in love, you will not be a false witness against your neighbor. So you can see that God's focus was spiritual. But you see, man was carnal, or men then, because they did not have eternal life, they were carnal. They couldn't really relate with God at that level. So God had to break them down into moral laws and ceremonial laws. Now, some of the ceremonial laws were for their hygiene. Amen. He told them what to do this, how to do this. While some were prophetic adumbrations of the things that were yet to come. Amen. There were shadows, there were archetypes of which Jesus came and fulfilled. Have it together. But you see, the point is superiority of spiritual law. Remember that the Bible teaches that God is a spirit. And when God set precedents or set laws, they govern both the spirit realm and the physical realm. I want you to get a hold on those spiritual laws. You will be in charge even in the physical realm. You will be. This is why to be profane is to shoot yourself on the feet, on the foot. Meaning to treat spiritual things with levity. To treat spiritual things lightly. Not to pay attention. Is to shoot yourself on the foot. Because those laws have been set to give you the advantage on the earth. That's what I'm saying. He says, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you set their dominion on the earth? A translation reads, do you know the ordinances of heaven? Can you use them to regulate the earth? You know, when you see something like that, you should pause. And I said, so I can regulate the earth? I can regulate the earth. That means I can regulate my experiences. I can regulate the circumstances of my life. I can regulate the happenings. The happenstances of my life, I can regulate them. That is remarkable, isn't it? And these are the things you must know to be equipped to live the life that God wants you to live on the earth. If you know the ordinances of heaven, you can use them to regulate the earth. And one of those ordinances is the law of words. That things are transported from the spirit realm into this material realm through words. That things are moved from this material realm into the invisible realm through words. You know, it's either way. The bridge connects both realms. That means by the things that are not, you can bring to not the things that are. That means you can look at two more and talk to it and then it dematerializes. It passes into the realm of the spirit. Oh, did you get that? Oh God. Matter is neither created nor destroyed, they say. So it dissolves and dematerializes. Location changes. Or the same arrow that manifests physically, you return it to where it came from. So these are realities that are affordable to believers. They are affordable to believers. Very affordable. You just know how to engage them. That's what he's saying. He said, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. The aeons were framed by the word of God. They were mended, they were constructed, they were designed by the word of God. By the word of God. They were designed by the word of God. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By this you now know that in life, the winds do not determine the direction. Your words does. Oh, you need the winds. So we can go to James 3 now. You need a wind. You need a wind. He said, behold, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. I think this was where I stopped in second service. That means God controls your life by putting something in your mouth. As long as God cannot control your mouth, he can't control your life. Oh Lord, take control of my life. God says, how I take control is by putting something in your mouth. Just like you control the horses by putting bits in their mouth. Are you seeing that? Amen. And that can be segmented. How does God take control of your finances? Boy, you know what it means for God to take control of your finances? You are big. But how does God take control? By putting his words concerning finances on your lips. How does God take control of your health? By putting his word concerning your health on your lips. How does he take control of your marriage, of your relationships, of your family life, of your career, of your business? By putting his words concerning those areas as well on your mouth. So we put bits in horses' mouth and turn their whole body. The same way, God put his words in our mouth and turn our whole bodies and destinies. Verse 4. Are you learning something? Verse 4. He said, behold also, he's giving us another analogy. The ships, which though they be so great, oh God, and are driven by fierce winds. I want you to take note of that. Fierce winds are good. This is the mystery in this scripture. Fierce winds are good. He said, large ships are driven of fierce winds. That means destiny. That's the picture of your destiny. The destiny of every believer is ginormous. Amen. And it is driven by fierce winds. That means without contrary situations, challenges, your life cannot really be driven. You can't make movement. You can't make progress. Did you get that? Great, enormous sheep are driven. Though they be great, they are driven of fierce winds. Yet, they are torn about with a very small hem to wherever the governor. Listen, are you seeing that? So the wind drives the ship, but does not determine the direction. Every sailor, I don't know if Elvis is still around. Sailor, a maritime guy. I don't know if he's still around or he has traveled back to Lagos. You see, every sailor will tell you that ships move on water aided by the wind. That means without the winds, the ship really don't. They can't really move. They take advantage of the wind. But you see, the wind doesn't determine the direction. Challenges are good. Mountains are good. Contrary winds are good. They drive you. But you see, they don't determine the direction. That's the problem. For some, they just look, okay. See, if you lead your ship to wherever the wind is going, you may land in another location. But if you hold the rudder, if you hold the rudder, that's what he's saying. The ship is so big, the wind is fierce, the rudder is small. He's saying that rudder is your tongue. That means your tongue determines the direction. So it compares it to your tongue. You know what that means? The challenge is not what you're going through. What you're going through is good for you. That's what he's saying. But you see, your ability to use your tongue to give direction to the sheep. To give direction to the sheep. Oh, hallelujah. To give direction to the sheep. That's the power of words. The power of the human tongue. Are you aware that in the Greek, the word mouth is stoma? Stoma. That's the Greek word for mouth. And it means the cutting edge of a weapon. The same word for mouth in the Greek is the same word for the edge of a knife, of a sword. It's also called stoma. What does that tell you? That means your mouth is that threshing, sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. As if I've given you a sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. What is he talking about? Your mouth. Ah! With it, you can beat down mountains. That's what he's saying. That means your mouth can chop down mountains. Yes, my goodness. You know what a threshing instrument is? Having teeth. You can use it to cut things down. It's the same thing with your mouth, you can cut down. Now, God told Elijah, what a man of capacity. You know, one of my favorite portions of scripture is to read 1 Kings from chapter 17 to the end, and then 2 Kings from chapter 1 to 9. Those are my best portion of scripture. I just love those stories. He said, now Elijah the Tishbite. And then confrontation, and then famine, and then ravens bringing in food. Ravens, stingy birds. You know, it is said that ravens can stab their own offspring to death. They don't give their children food when they are hungry. You see, God did not keep that in the Bible for nothing. He's showing you that supply can come from the most difficult of places. If ravens can feed the prophet, the most stingy fellow can give you money. Can I get an amen to that? He said the things were written for our learning. It's not kept there alone. Ravens bringing food for the prophet. And then he was drinking from the brook. So that strange man, prophet Elijah, what a man. Hey, should I digress a little? You know, in first service, I was telling you that one of the things that your confessions, your right words, speaking the right words, do for you over time is to give you a body language of victory and dominion. I said in the second service, it gives you a body language of victory and dominion. And I said that body language has a way of affecting the manifestation of God's power through a life. You read, in Jeremiah also, he said, if you are fearful, he said, for don't fear their fear and all that. He said, if you are fearful, I will deal with you. Do you understand? I thought if you are fearful, God should help you. No. You know what he's saying? He's saying that give my power posture for performance. Hi. I hope you not get this in next week. If you are waiting to gain the whole experience to do the things you ought to do. You not do many things. That means there are seasons to jump. There are Goliath moments. Kai. Did you hear what I said? Goliath moments. Where you come from the backside of the desert. No experience in war. All you know is your sling and your stone. But you say, I'm bringing you down. God likes it. That posture gives his power platform for performance. That's what I'm saying. I wish somebody's getting me. When you wake up, you say, it's time to make 10 million. Hey, I've never made 1 million before. Am I talking? Let me tell you, anointing can come on you. If you don't have the right posture, you can't manifest it all. You see, the operations of the anointing cannot be disconnected from the posturing of the vessel. Yes, Can I enter into this thing? That means there's a boldness. There's a posture of boldness required for the power of God to work. And if you don't learn that thing, you may have impartations with minimal expression. How do you think we heal the sick? Boldness. How do you think we open deaf ears? Boldness. How do you think we pray for dead bodies? Boldness. How do you think we stand before difficult situations and speak words and insist they change? Boldness. Because that posture will give platform for performance for the power of God, which is already on you. That means there's a body language. You see, when the anointing came upon Elisha, he was a soft man, but you understood the body language. Oh. The next thing, 22 young men harassed him. Did he act like a gentleman? He had to enter into the posture of that Elijah's anointing for you to walk. Guy, let me not say it again. I just hope you get what I just said. Glory to God. Boldness. The people doing it don't have two heads. Boldness. They don't. I'm challenging someone. They don't. If you try the first time, it doesn't work. Second time, third time, it will work. They don't. How did I even get to Elijah now? You know, I'm feeling like totally emotional right now. You know, this man, this prophet of God, when he was about to leave, God told him, he said, now, we're talking about words having cutting power. Yes, I remember now. He said, now, as you're going, anoint Hazael to be the king of Syria. Anoint Jehu to be the king of Israel. Anoint Elisha in your stead. That means to be the number one prophet in the land. He said, for whoever escapes the sword of Hazael. You know who Hazael was? Hazael was, you know, later when Elisha saw the thing he was going to do, he wept. That means he was a harsh man. He was a heartless Syrian king. So God told the prophet, so whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu. Do you know who Jehu was? They ever read of Jehu? Prophet Jehu. They say, who is coming? They say, we don't know. For he said, he looks like Jehu, for he driveth furiously. The Bible says, for the Lord anointed Jehu to cut off the house of Ahab. He killed everybody in Ahab's house. In fact, the person who was told to anoint it, they say, when you go in, when you pour water, run. When you pour the oil, sorry, run. Take off. Remarkable stories in the Bible. But here's my point. So the Lord says, you don't need money to start that thing. People already have the money. Have the posture of boldness and the structure. Collect the money and do it. This is a prophecy for someone. Let me continue. You see? Thank you, Lord. He said, whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall slay. He now added something, which is where I'm going. He said, whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall slay. Question, how was Elisha going to slay? He wasn't a man of war. He was a prophet. What is the tool of a prophet? Words. His sword was where? It was in his mouth. Whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall slay. God knew what he was saying. God was intelligent enough to know that Elisha was a prophet. He wasn't carrying a physical sword. He's saying that spiritual sword is the last bus stop. That means what physical sword cannot do, spiritual sword will get it done. Are you getting it now? That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. So when he crossed Jordan and the 22 young men, they were not children. The translation means young men. Young men. Young men. There were 42, right? So 42, yes. No, sorry. 42, right? Add three and a half years is how many months?
42?
Yes. All right? So 42 young men. Somebody said, why did I say that? You should know now. I taught you before. 42 young men. 42 is the number of the Antichrist. You know, he's going to rule for 42 months. 3.5 years. 42 months was the number of the Antichrist. So that was the picture of the spirit of the Antichrist rising to mock the church. You know, Elijah was the type of Jesus. Elisha was the type of the church. When he left his mantle, which is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, fell on the church on the day of Pentecost. Did you get that? So that was a symbol of the church entering into the office. And entering into the office, the Bible says he was about to ascend to Bethel. So as we ascend in our calling, the spirit of the Antichrist attempt to mock. The right response is judgment. So that was what happened there. That was why there were 42 young men. Do you understand? All right. It wasn't because God liked roasting children. They were not children. Praise God. Hallelujah. How did I get into this? But you see, he, through that act, he showed that his words were more potent than the sword of a warrior. Bible says he cursed them. And then that word created she bears appeared and ate them up. Ate them up. So there's power in supernatural utterance. That's what I'm saying. There's power in the words that we speak. There's power. There's power. This is the ordinance of heaven. And this is how we regulate the earth. Is it too fit to understand that the words were framed by the word of God? This is how we regulate the earth. The earlier you learn how to be constructive with that, the better. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are we together? So quickly, how do you increase the energy of your words? How to increase the force, the authority of your words? Of course, it can be increased. Now you are learning. It begins from understanding. We're talking about the power of words. That understanding gives you a consciousness. Okay? It gives you consciousness. Number one, meditation. Meditation. Give me Matthew 12:34. Meditation. Meditation. Matthew 12:34. Psalm 39:3. Matthew 12:34. Matthew. Are you sure it's Matthew 12? Matthew 13, actually. Matthew 13:34. Matthew 13. Out of the abundance of the heart. It's 12, right? Okay, 12, 12. Yeah, 12, 12. Sorry, 12. 12:34. Meditation. Okay. It's the old generation of vipers. How can ye, being evil, speak good things? Watch this now. Watch this. For, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Where am I going? A weighty heart will produce weighty words. Write it down. An empty heart will produce empty words. A light-weighted heart will produce light-weighted words. Did you get that? Through meditation, you increase the substance of your heart. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going. He says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That means your words take the character of your heart. Meditation enriches your heart. It gives your heart weight. Why are some words weightier than others? The weight of the heart. The weight of the heart. The weight of the heart. Through meditation, your heart becomes resourceful. Your heart develops weight. That's what happens in meditation. When you sit down with the word to hear and to think deeply on the word, when you think deeply on the values of the kingdom, on the laws of the kingdom, on the things of the kingdom, there's a weight that your heart develops. And that's very important. That weight will give power to your utterance. That weight will give weight to your word. For a weighty heart will give weighty words. A feather-lighted heart will give feather-lighted words. Did you get that? Meditation. He said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. When the heart of a believer is full of matter, you know matter, kingdom matters, serious stuff. When you speak, there's a life, there's a breath that comes with the things that you speak. So when the Bible teaches meditation and tells us to stay on the word, hear the word, think deeply about God's word, it's not for God, it's for you. It has a direct, very direct impact on the authority of your words in the realm of the spirit and on the earth. Oh, yes, it does. How did I start healing the sick and seeing miracles on campus? I'll never forget. A major part was Acts chapter 3. I couldn't leave it. When Peter and John at the gate, Peter and John at the gate called Beautiful, right? The man that was lame there, looking at them, expecting to receive money, and he says, "Silver and gold have I not. But such as I have, give I thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the Bible says he took him by the right hand. I meditated on that. You know what I saw? Number one, I saw that the name of Jesus had power. Number two, I saw that action is a switch of God's power. Peter did not pray twice. The man did not stand up. What did Peter do? He took him by the right hand. Witty heart, witty words. Light heart, light words. Confused heart, confused words. Corrupt heart, corrupt words. This is how to increase the value on your words. Glory to God. So guard your heart. Saturate it through meditation. Saturate it through meditation. Don't give your mind space to think nonsense. Saturate it with the word. Let the word of God become your meditation, your cogitations every day. When your mind is trying to drift, play a message and put your mind on it. Think about God's word. Say something with your mouth. Have it together. It's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Psalm 39 verse 3. You know what it says? It says, as I mused, the fire burned. My heart was hot within me. My heart was hot. That means your heart is enfired through meditation. You can put it up. Your heart is enfired through meditation. Your heart, he said, my heart was hot within me. While I was meditating, musing, there is meditation. While I was musing, the fire burned. Then speak I with my tongue. Are you seeing that? So he meditated, his heart began to burn, then he spoke. So imagine the kind of words that will come out. Some of the things he spoke, you are still reading them till now. Why some of the things people spoke last week, we don't know them. No wait, you have forgotten them. No wait. D.L. Moody asked a man, is your soul saved? They were talking on the way, he said, is your soul saved? The man did not even answer him. He went to his house but could not sleep. He couldn't sleep. He kept hearing those words. Is your soul saved? He came out in the night to look for the man. He said, there was a man on this street who asked me, is my soul saved? Where is he? Is that normal? Those words came with weight. With weight. With weight. Now, let's bring it to the marketplace. It's the same thing, though. When your words have weight and you do presentation, people can't forget it. And you bid for a contract, there'll be something about your word. We call it voicing. There's something about your word that is different, that brings compulsion. When you say, I can invest in real estate for you, just whatever you say is what to be done. Why? Because your words have weight. So don't just stereotype it to preaching. No. No. In the marketplace, you know, Connell Ogamoyo, that you'll be doing presentation in the army, people will be crying. Presentation. That's officer. I talk to officer about military. He's not preaching. Then people will be crying. Some don't understand. They just say there's something about the words that touches their heart. Wait. Wait. Do you understand? That meditation, a very distracted mind cannot produce witty words. Am I teaching? He can't. There are times you shut yourself out of social media to meditate on the matter. What happened in Genesis chapter 1? The Spirit of God incubated his computation, according to Leke Alda. He incubated on the surface of the deep, such that when God spoke, there had to be creation. It's the same thing. That incubation is meditation. You are thinking about a matter. You are rolling it over in your heart. So your words, come on. How did Adolf Hitler, how did he speak and the whole of Germany followed him? You think that was normal? There was something in his words though. Humans are not idiots. Why? Something happened to his word. The same thing with Kwame Nkrumah. He was fighting for independence. Nobody answered him. He went to his village for 2 years and came back and said, we want independence. And then the Oyibo handed over Ghana and left. Is that normal? Voicing. Now one is in the negative. Amen. That means things can be put in words. That's what I'm saying. He went to his village to put something in his word. So when he said, it's time for independence for Ghana, they had to leave. It's the same person who said before and they didn't listen. Are you here? So it's applicable to the marketplace. Very applicable. As a believer, you must deliberately increase the authority of your words. In fact, even in your office, when you speak, people should listen. Because that is the key to your influence. Are we together? God wants us to be influential. And your words are keys to your influence. You can't be talking and people are talking and they say next. No. You can't be talking and not be heard. So deliberately increase the power and the authority of your word. And it's not about arguing. Every time I make suggestions in this place, nobody heard me. You are just wasting your time. You are wasting your time. Put value in your words. It was said of Ahithophel that when he spoke, it was as though the gods had spoken. You don't ask any question. When Ahithophel went on the side of Absalom, David knew he was in trouble. You know what David prayed? Oh Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. You know what that means? It means there was nothing wrong with what Ahithophel said, but that weight has been removed. Oh. Are you seeing the spirituality of life? Yes, the counsel he gave was the right counsel. It was the right counsel. But when Absalom heard, he said, okay, that's nice, next. He couldn't believe it. He said, what? When I speak, people don't say next. But what happened? David had prayed, Lord, turn the counsel of Ahithophel. Make it light. No more weight. To show you that life is spiritual. What happened? In the realm of the spirit, the weight of his words were taken. So when he spoke, it was like, yeah. They say, okay, oh, what did he say? Good, next. Glory to God. God can put weight on your words. And it's through meditation. That's what I'm saying. It's through meditation. When you act drama, there should be something about your acting, about your utterance in that movie that you acted as an actor or the stage play that you play. There should be something. When you speak, there's an excellency of your word. There's an excellence of your word. There's a weight on it. Anybody that sees it wants to read it again. Anybody that watched it wants to watch it again. Why your utterance has been weighted. And that comes from a weighted heart. It was said of Oral Roberts, when he's going for a meeting, you don't talk to him except he talks to you. That's one of the leading healing evangelists in the healing voices, in the healing revival. You know what he was doing? Focusing his mind so that there can be weight, so that his words can go forth with weight. So they told Kenneth Copeland, who was his driver, they say, if he doesn't talk to you, you don't talk to him. The day you talk to him, you are sacked. You don't see. Hello, sir. How are you doing? No, you don't. As he's coming to the car, you're quiet. And then he sits down. He goes, if he talks to you, you respond. If he doesn't talk to you, he keep quiet. Until he's done with his meeting. There was something that those men of old knew. You want to do something big, and then you are talking. Cho, 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 cho. What's happening here? No. When you are going for a presentation, you are bidding for a contract or going for an interview, you want to do something serious? No. Withdraw. And concentrate the matter in your heart. Let there be weight so that when you talk, there's voicing. Am I teaching? There's voicing. In fact, in life, those who are quiet are considered to be wise. Have you noticed? Your friends that don't talk too much, you want to hear them talk. Even what they are saying is foolish. You think he has some sense. Do you understand? Praise God. Are you blessed this morning? So, meditation. Let your heart burn. Let your heart burn. Meditation. Guard your heart. Put the right words in there. This is your ears. Train it to listen to words of life consistently. Garbage in, garbage out, they say. Life in, life out. Are we together? Watch what kind of music you listen to. Any music that will corrupt your soul, don't listen to it. Don't. Let the tune be nice. Discipline yourself not to. Be more loyal to your future than temporarily shaking your head. Do you understand? Who should have more of your loyalty? The foolish person dancing naked on the video or your future? Who should have your loyalty? Talk to me. Who should have your loyalty? Your future. Your future. Your future. Your future. And you know that music permeates the hemisphere of your brain without your consent? Oh, it does. Some of you don't know in certain season why the spirit of lust came upon you. Check the music you were listening to last week or 2 weeks ago. Because it's not about the tune. You have to be smart. You have to select what enters your heart. He said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I heard one recently, I laughed, I almost fell down. About God to punish somebody or something for every bad thing that you did. Thunder will fire you or something like that. I say, blessed Lord Jesus. This has entered into music. Thunder fire you. Nice musical. Thunder fire you. Yes. R&B self. Nice music. Oh, government, they ban it. Eh, okay, I didn't know. But it was rather strange. Nice video. They said thunder fire. I said, seriously. I was in the barber's shop. For the heartbreak you caused him, thunder fire you. You know, that sells to the spiritually uneducated. If you are spiritually educated, you know the power of words. You know the power of words. You know what to let in. And what not to let it. It's not every music you listen to. What a generation. And this generation, God is our help. You will play foolish music and then in the next one is still Phil Sunday revival. The next one, reshuffle. I say, how are they doing it? How are they doing it? Please tell me. Foolish song that promotes premarital, extramarital sex. Then the next one, you're praying to Phil on Sunday. Let me not say thunder fire you. No, but it's amazing. How many of you have seen what I'm talking about? On their playlist on Instagram, on status, and you are wondering, what a shift. What a shift. I'm not saying you cannot listen to love song, but be very selective. Be very selective. Don't confuse your soul. Don't confuse your soul because of tune. What tune? What tune? You will not die if you don't listen to them. You know, you don't miss anything. I don't know a lot of these people. I don't know them. And I'm not missing out. Glory to God. By design, they are the ones who should be trying to know us. Do you understand? But you're not chipping for secular artists. You are one of, you are a church gather. You are one of their fans. This person, oh, he won this grand. Hi. He's suspect. No, no, what? For what? The guy that promotes Igbo, sleeping with women as tools, yes. All kinds of things. So what? Really, what's the value there? Because of money, really? Because of fame, really? We call it temporary popularity, right? It's not the same thing as enduring relevance. It's not. Where's MJ today? Or where is his legacy? That's the greatest of them all. No, where's MJ's legacy? So that you learn. Are you blessed? Mind, pay attention to what goes in. Pay attention. You can't just listen to junks. This generation of believers, you can't just, no. When we're growing up, we're told that you don't listen to secular music. That's all we're told. And we didn't like it. Some of us liked some songs. Amen. We liked some artists. But we couldn't. We just ban it. If we sing it, it's just to make people laugh. Do you understand? We just had to delete all of them. No cassettes, no DVD. You burn the DVD. You just break them. It's not because they were wrong, but because you were preparing for your future. That's what we did. That's what we did. Are you here? That's what we did. Hallelujah. Say, I'm blessed. I'm out of time. Let's close this service. Rise to your feet. Are you blessed? Lift your hands toward heaven and bless the name of the Lord. Just talk to the Lord where you are. Appreciate Him for the things you received in third service. Mighty impartation of the Spirit. Mighty, mighty impartation of the Spirit. I want you to speak word, Lord. There's energy in my words. There's power in my words. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's power in my words. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just right where you are, can you lift your hands toward heaven? Just lift your hands. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just appreciate God with your hands.
We believe the Word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.